bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello and welcome to the big show. I'm Ian Rankin. I've been stuck in a car lift for 2 hours. That was fun. If you want professionalism tonight, suggest you move on. Because we're going to drink beer and discuss the week's tech news and have a good time. Because Carl's gone to bed because I'm so late. And there's just the three of us now. Joining me, what a panel. Top left, raking a welcome return, Alex G. Fox. How you doing, mate? Long time.
Hello, I am. I'm back in the planet of tech punditry.
Good man. Where have you been?
I've been everywhere, to be honest.
You've been working. You cheat.
Yeah, I've been everywhere. I've been back. I've been doing royal stuff. I've been doing some non-royal stuff.
Are we allowed to talk about that yet?
Yeah, yeah. It's all right. I've been working.
We just can't talk about the court case.
Yeah, I can't talk about who I'm suing. But yeah, I've been working on the portrait of the Queen for the first class stamp and various other things. So I am brought to you by royal appointment today. So,
dude, do you get a badge for that?
I can actually have a badge. I can actually have something on my briefcase, but that means I'd have to carry a briefcase.
Okay.
So we'll think about that one day. When I'm old and grey, I'll take the knighthood now, though.
When I'm 64.
That's not that long away.
In the middle for diddle, it's Thomas Merritt. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing well, Ewan. Sorry about your horrible car experience.
today it just went wrong. It was just plain and simple wrong.
It's just one of those days.
Help. No, it's done. It's all over and done with.
Samsung will make it all better for you.
Yeah, right. I love your blind optimism, dude.
Well, blind is right, for sure.
No question. So what have you been up to?
Just the same old stuff, covering the tech news every morning on Tech News Today. Getting ready to go to Nerdtacular in Salt Lake City in a week. It's I don't know if you know Scott Johnson's Frog Pants Network, but they gather all their minions together. It's kind of like your bash.
All right, cool.
In Utah. So that should be fun.
Excellent, excellent. And last but by no means least, top right, Jeff Gamet. How's it going, bud?
Apparently it's going way better for me than it is for you.
Just rub it in. Thanks, dude.
Oh, that really didn't help, did it?
No. No. But I deserve it. It's okay. I give enough of it out, so I should be able to take it back, shouldn't I?
Yeah, well, you know, we're all family, and with only a few of us here, it's an intimate setting. So
it is. We should have a good conversation. Yeah. No one to butt in and just ruin everything. No,
that's
puns,
right.
No puns on the butt. Thank you very much, chat room. Right. First things first. Current news first. It seems like Samsung have puked. They've puked product. And more product than I can catch with a sieve. We've got the ATV Tab 3, which is the smallest, slimmest tabletist, Windows 18ist tablet you ever saw. The ATV Book 9, which is a laptop, and the ATV Q, which is not a laptop but looks like it should be, with a support at the back. And there's a phone thing as well, which has got 23 megapixels, you say, Alex?
Well, it's a camera, which they've stuck a phone in.
Oh, okay. So, is it a camera first or a phone first?
No, it looks like a camera.
Okay, right.
But it is made by Samsung, so that limits it in the first place.
I am hoping that I mean, Thomas, you seem to have this straight in your head. You were kind of talking like you knew what you were talking about earlier on.
That's what I do. I talk like I know what I'm talking about.
However,
I'm slowly making more sense of it. The one that the ATV-Q that you mentioned is a convertible. It'll change between a tablet and a laptop, and it runs Windows and Android. So when you're in the tablet situation, it'll run Android. And when you're in the laptop situation, it'll run Windows. And you can even pin Android apps to the screen when you're in the Windows version and just kind of launch into Android to run them.
That sounds really cool.
It could be. Or it could be just a disaster. I've seen these kinds of attempts made before, and they never work out as well as they sound.
First, better than Retina. 3200 by 1800 resolution screen. on a mobile device.
Yeah, QHD display. It's nice.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, the iPad screen looks pretty good in Retina. That's got to be awesome. And it's 13 inches across.
Yeah, 13.3.
So this thing's coming in at what, $4,000 or $5,000?
Did they give a price?
Probably. If you have to ask, you don't.
I mean, exactly. You can't afford it. 275 pixels per inch. Yeah, I'm not seeing. I don't know if they gave any prices for this stuff yet.
So they've got 275 PPI on a Retina, better than Retina, 13 inch display, and it's going to be a cheap product.
Yeah, I don't know about that cheap part.
No, I mean, well, Samsung aren't renowned for expensive products. They seem to hit the price point pretty well. The TVs hit the right price points and so on. So I can't see that they want to hump you on this, no?
I don't know if they're going to make money off of the ecosystem, though, right? I mean, I guess they could sell you a bunch of S stuff that comes with an S Pen. They love doing that. But they need to make their money off the hardware, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's no app store particularly that they're going to delve into, is there?
Yeah.
Jeff, any thoughts?
That sounds kind of like a man, bear, pig product, where it's everything all jammed together. I tend to prefer products that are more specialized, and I don't want a product that's a laptop and a tablet and a Windows machine and an Android machine all in one. I want different things for all of that. And my fear is that while this sounds like a cool product and has some nice specs, we're looking at something that instead of being really great for a specific set of people, is going to be pretty much meh for everyone.
Mm.
And that doesn't sound like a good mix for a winning product, especially when you're a company that does make your money off of hardware.
Yeah, I mean, there is a point to that. I mean, what's the crossover between... I mean, if you look at the crossover between Android and Mac, you'd say it was probably fairly small. The crossover between Android and Windows has got to be larger, I would presume.
Well, that's sort of how it strikes me. It strikes me as the anti-Apple product.
They've not done anything else but designed to screw Apple.
Well, it's not so much to screw Apple, but there's plenty of people out there that just for one reason or another, which is something we've been discussing on Google Plus today, for one reason or another, they will not touch an Apple product. You know, there's plenty of, you know, we went through categories of people that might not want to do that. And to put Windows 8 and then Android in one single device, it's like the ultimate fingers up to Apple. If you don't want to get involved in the Apple world in any way, shape or form, here's one product that means you can stick your fingers up to a tab and a MacBook Pro at the same time.
And what's the quantity of people then that give a toss?
Tech-wise, I think, you know, when you've got people that are actually interested in tech rather than, you know, the everyday normal people that aren't like us, they... You know, normal people couldn't care, but the people that are actually into tech, you've got your half and half. You're going to have half of them that absolutely love this because it's anti-Apple, if you like. It's nothing to do with the Apple ecosystem in any way, and it's everything they love by hating everything Apple do. I'm not agreeing with them in any way, so I'm not going to get in an argument about that.
Is that market big enough to sustain a product line, though?
Well, I think... Yeah, I reckon it is. I mean, you don't have to sell many of these things at that price. It's sort of the way Apple do things in a funny way. It should go for sort of a higher-end product, not to be amazingly popular with it. I mean, you've got iPhones and things like that. Samsung are outselling iPhones. Other manufacturers are outselling iPhones because there's now cheaper alternatives that do something similar.
Yeah.
So maybe Samsung are just going for that other bit of the market that they haven't got anywhere near, which is the high end. You know, this is very expensive, but it's special. And there will be enough people out there that would pay maybe $1,200 for something that does both things. Because you remember now, you've not only got a tablet, which is what, I don't know, £600 here for a top end tablet, and you're talking about £700 or £800 for a top end laptop, you're probably actually saving money.
Well, that's interesting.
I think what they're showing here is the weakness of Windows 8 as a tablet operating system, right? I mean, What this, what I feel like this is targeted for is somebody who works in Windows, and there's plenty of people who work in Windows, and they want to have a thin and light laptop, maybe a convertible into a tablet that they can take on the go with them, but that needs to have all the same apps and all the same services, et cetera, that they're used to with Windows. So what Microsoft has been saying is that's why Windows 8 exists, is so that it can work as well on a tablet as it does on the desktop, and you can move back and forth. And what Samsung seems to be saying is, yeah, except it doesn't. So we stuck Android in there for when you really need the tablet interface, because we all know Android is better than a tablet. And we'd stick iOS in there if we could, but we're not allowed to. So we went with the next best thing. And now you've got a laptop that'll work with Windows and all the Windowsy things you need. And then when you need a tablet, it can do Android. Because, I mean, it's almost a slap in the face to Microsoft saying, yeah, your tablet interface just isn't good enough.
Hmm. The other thing that they've got on this as well is they've got a track point instead of a touchpad. There is no wobbly fingery touchpad. This is going back to, I mean, that's kind of late.
Oh, you mean the IBM nipple thing?
The nipple, yeah. They've gone back to the.
It has its fans. The late 90s. But yeah, I mean, Lenovo hasn't got rid of it for a reason. People, there are a section of people who love that. I don't know why.
Well, there's people that love broccoli, and I don't get that either.
I just zoomed into Jeff there thinking he was going to say something really great.
But you know his vegetable preferences now. What more could you want?
Sucker.
Fair point, right?
I can't even read that out, Sax, what he's put down in the chat room.
You know what? I read that and I had to read it twice to make sure I read that right.
It's a variation on the word mouse.
Something about Clinton?
Oh, easy, dude, easy. I mean, so price point then. Come on, what's the win or lose price on this? Based on the fact that it's got this humongous screen. I mean, that's a phenomenal screen. Unbelievable.
For a tablet, it's just kind of average for a laptop. I mean, it's a nice 3200 by 1800, though, if that's what you're talking about. That's pretty sweet.
I mean, laptops are 1920 by 1080 at best normally, aren't they?
Yeah.
Apart from the Retina display from the Mac. So, I mean, this is an enormous leap up in Windows screens. And you're looking at the Retina display that you've got on the Chromebook, and the Chromebook is pushing at $1,800. So
maybe they're just trying to say, look, you know, Apple haven't got, you know, Apple just released, say, the new Mac Pro, and the idea was, look what we can do. We can do something absolutely fabulous in a weird shape. Maybe Samsung has gone, you know, you haven't got, you know, you're not the only ones that can produce absolutely amazing technology. I mean, we're not saying that this thing they've built is there's any point to it at all. There probably isn't one. But what they have done, they've put down a marker to say, you know what, the next thing we bring out, the next tablet we bring out might have this resolution in it. Come on, Apple, up your game. You know, what they've done is they've just gone, it's, you know, it's the way you get motor manufacturers like someone like a Peugeot that normally sell cars for between 15 and 20 grand. They bring out the odd car that's £120,000 just to show that they can do it, because it's their leader in the brand, if you like. And I just see this like that. It doesn't matter what they charge for it, because they're not going to make very many of them, and they will either give them away or sell them. There's plenty of people out there that £2,000, if you like, for an office gadget is just what they get, because they get paid obscene amounts of money anyway. So if they make 100,000 of these, 100,000 of them will go, but it won't go to the public. But the knockdown of Samsung being able to say, look at the technology we can make as well. Because they are now the leader, aren't they? They are the leader. They've got the best screen. They've got the most possibly ridiculous design, but they've actually done something. You know, and
I think you're right.
It's a good idea.
They're throwing everything against the wall here, right? They've got three versions of the Galaxy S4. The Active, which is waterproof, and the one with the camera lens, the manual focus,
the memorable one.
Yeah, the Zoom, the Galaxy Zoom. And then they've got the Q tablet that we've been talking about. They also have the Ativ Book 9, which is an ultrabook. They've got the Ativ Tab 3, which is apparently the thinnest Windows 8 tablet, and that's just Windows 8. There's no Android on it. They've also got an all-in-one computer. They've got the Ativ Book 9 Lite and Book 9 Plus, by the way. So two laptops there. And then they have the camera, that Galaxy NX. I mean, they're basically trying to say, like, we have everything now. Here it is. Everything you could possibly think of. What do you want? And I guess they're just throwing it all on the wall, see what sticks.
We've got more variants than Windows.
I suppose that's why they don't have their own stores like Apple, because it would have to be so big.
Just that you carry one item.
Yeah, you probably have to
buy a store.
Yeah, but you probably have to have a whole shopping center just for one Samsung store.
Although they have those little, I don't know if they have them in the UK, but here in Best Buy's, they have the Samsung Experience stores within the Best Buy chain. So it's a little Samsung owned and operated carve out where you can experience all the stuff.
What we seem to get is the big space in the middle of the mall that no one ever really fills with anything. Occasionally they bring a car in to show it off. That's where you get Samsung here. Okay. You know, a few comfortable couches and people. But the last time I went to one of those, I asked the guy the question. He smiled at me. He goes, "I don't really work for Samsung. I just get paid here to look good." And I thought, fair enough, at least you were honest. But you know, he didn't have a clue what he was showing me. But there you go.
As Sax in the chat room says, "I'm still rocking my Galaxy S2. It's got the best love from..." I can't read the next bit. I can't pronounce it. Nothing, because it's rude or anything.
Cyanogen mod.
That's the one. Jeff, what's the magic price point for you on this then, based on spec versus doability, playability, spendability? Gut feeling is it's going to be, but it would sell better if it was, I guess, is the look that's on your face.
Yeah, $399 would sell better at $199.
Are you talking about $199?
Yes. Yes.
You're going to sell... forgive me, but are we going to sell a 3200 by 1800?
We are talking about the same thing, aren't we?
Well, okay. So,
not the charger that comes with it. We're actually talking about
the wall warrant.
You know, okay, see, I'm not expecting most of the components to be very high quality in this.
No.
And many of the components Samsung can make itself, so it can keep its cost down. So if they can keep this thing down around $399, then they can sell the thing.
Dude, if this is $390, if this is $399, I'm buying one tonight.
What are we talking about now? I think I'm still on an old product. Which one are we talking about now?
Well, let's start with the Q, the laptopy hybrid-y tablet thing.
Oh, see, this is what I get for flirting with people in the chat room.
Keep up, boy. Right. Keep up.
So, leave Sax alone.
Yeah. Okay. So if we're talking about the laptopy thing. There's no way they can do this below $1,000.
No. According to a leak on Slashgear, says Sax, this is $2,320.
Wow.
they're never going to keep it under 1,000 at that then. Spot on, Jeff.
It can't be that much.
That works out to £1,500.
And then you went on VAT.
Yeah. That's
£1,800.
No, that's £1,500 including VAT. Because you've got sales tax on top of that, 2-3, haven't you, of course?
Yeah.
Holy crap, you boys are going to be skint. They're going to sell 10 of these. No? Maybe 12.
Yeah, there are 10 that people price out there that will buy these simply because it doesn't have an Apple logo on it, and that would be good enough for them.
Yeah. So, if that's the real price, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of kit. There's no question, you know, with the screen res and stuff, but it's not, and the dual boot thing's really niche and kind, but it's not $2,500.
Like it's there to be a product that they then bring out, you know, variants of it at almost reasonable price in the future. That's what it's there for.
Yeah.
I hope.
What if it came $999?
Go on then, answer your own question there. What if it came $999?
I'm not going to buy it anyway, but but I think that could capture more than 10 people. I think they would say, oh, it's a sub $1,000 Windows laptop that also does Android. You might get a few more takers there.
You get a lot of takers, I would say, at 1,000.
Sure, but there's no way it's going to come in at that price point.
Well, not with a leak price of $2,300, no.
No, and actually, if it does come in around the $1,000 price point, I would say don't buy it because the component quality is probably so bad that you'd be lucky to get 6 months life out of the thing.
Yeah, I can't believe they'd do that, though. They'd rather not sell them at $2,500 than ruined their entire reputation at 1,000.
And I'd just like to point out as well that Jeff has freedom of speech in America, whereas we in the UK don't. So anything that he said there about there being crappy components is probably not an actual. Just want to reinforce the probably. Okay.
He said it would be likely that they would be.
Likely. If there we go. So, yeah, likely.
It would be hard for, I think it's a good point. It would be hard for them to make a product at that price point. We made up the price point, too, so we can make up the component. So,
well, we were sure. Leaked the price point. We were fed by Sachs.
Well, Sachs made up the $9.99,
though. Sue Sachs.
Holy mythological.
What about this thing, then, the Tab 3? Where does the Ativ bit come from? Because does that stand for anything?
That's the name of the line for their Windows components. And then Galaxy is for their Android stuff.
Got you. Okay.
I don't know what it means, but that's how it's used.
Now, it's interesting that this Tab is not in the Galaxy line because it's running Windows 8. It is a full Windows 8 Tab. Presumably, it's got 64 gig of RAM and 23 of it's taken up with Windows. It's low. It's small. It's 39% smaller than a Microsoft Surface, but still runs it. It's only half a kilo in weight, and it's only 8.2 millimeters thick compared with 14.2 for the Surface. So they're already starting to draw comparisons here with the Microsoft Surface, and saying that they're better than.
You know, I don't think it's difficult right now for people to say they're better than the Microsoft Surface.
No.
No.
No, Microsoft can't even sell the things.
The Surface RT is just dead in the water. They have these ads running here that show someone like touting the benefits of the Surface RT because it has a USB port. I'm like, wow, that's your killer feature. I don't know.
It's a USB.
Yeah.
Right there. Again, we've got no prices on this one, have we, though?
I don't think they get prices for any of this stuff.
Sachs, have you got a leaked price on the Tab 3, please, mate? If you have, we can interesting to compare that against Surface as well. Specs good. I mean, it's a 1366 by 768 resolution screen, so that's kind of norm, isn't it? Micro HDMI out, front facing 720p camera. It's not amazing specs on this thing.
Now, this is a mid-range thing, right? This is the one that will definitely be around the $300, $499 price point, I would guess.
Yeah. And it's also got a Windows Home button smack in the middle of the lower bezel. I don't know
if that's pretty standard for the Windows 8 tablets, I think.
Right, okay.
Well, I've got some prices on the older ones here, and they're between $199 and $399.
All right.
Oh, here we go. Ativ Tab 3 will ship in early August for $699 US with the keyboard cover included.
They've already pushed the price up.
So it is up a little bit. This is a gadget. Yeah, long way.
And that's right up there with the, at 64 gig, that's right up there with the Surface, isn't it?
Yeah. And with the keyboard included. Because with the Surface, you have to buy the keyboard separate. So.
Mm. And the last thing was the Book 9. Which is a little tiny laptop. It's got the same screen resolution as the tablet in the Q series stuff. And it's very, very thin, very, very lightweight. It's the keyboard section is actually half as thick as the area where the USB fits in. It's got USB 3 in it. Core i5, i7 Haswell processor, Intel Graphics 4400, 8 gig of RAM, 256 gig of SSD storage. That's quite a good spec as well. And I mean, again, what's the price going to be on this one? Given the screen, are you expecting another $2,500 computer here?
Well, there's the Lite and the Plus, right? So I would expect the Lite to try to come in under $1,000. That puts it in the cheapest MacBook Air range. And then the Plus probably not too far up above that. Both of them got to be under $2,000, though, I think.
Well, there's absolutely no point in doing it if you're going to make it more expensive than an Air.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's no competition, so.
Well, and Apple made it more difficult to beat them on price now. Is it the 11-inch Air? It's $999. The 13-inch Air is $1099 now.
Right.
Princess Bagel says she didn't have to buy her keyboard separate when she got the Surface, so maybe.
Yeah, her husband's places. A Windows dev as well, though, so he probably got a package of some description that...
Yeah, they probably... I didn't think about that. They probably package them up, you're right.
For the devs, certainly. I would have thought.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
If you can't get those people on your side, you're in trouble.
Give up. Go home. It's the end of the day. Microsoft has had a bit of a climb down, it would seem. Previously, we reported that the on the Gamer Show, certainly they talked about a lot about the new Xbox One and the fact that it was always on DRM and you had to regularly check in every 28 days to make sure you had an internet connection and you couldn't do exchange your games. PS4 then came out and said, oh, yeah, yeah, exchange your games all you like, not a problem. And Microsoft, in inverted commas, held talks. I have no idea what that means in actuality. But they've held talks to say that that customers are not happy and they've responded to public demand.
It's a purely political setup move, isn't it? It's the same way as all governments. They say we're planning on doing this. They've got no intentions of actually doing it, but they want it in the public consciousness. If Xbox didn't say this, we'd have all gone, okay, you've done your bit. Let's see what the PS4 is going to offer. Everyone talked about the Xbox the whole time. Now, Microsoft look like, only to some people, obviously other people can see through it, but now they look like, oh, look, they're actually giving us something back. They're such lovely people. They've actually decided to give us what we want. Oh, well, now I'll go and buy one. It's a very, very old political trick. And, I mean, when it happened, I was discussing it with people, and the consensus was, give it a couple of weeks and they'll turn this around. It's just to make sure that we're discussing it. And lo and behold, they've done exactly what we expected them to do.
You thought this is a marketing ploy?
More or less, yeah. It's let us look like the good guys. So what you do when you want to look the good guys, if you've got nothing to look good about, you make yourself look a little bit bad. So when you overturn that decision and you say, we're doing it for the public, we're doing it for the people, it's like politicians saying, we heard what you said, we listened to you. Sometimes they put policies in, they know they're not going to be popular, but they've got no intentions of pushing them through, just so they can say, we've listened to the public, we're working here for you. And Microsoft have done exactly the same trick.
Oh, right. I think you're giving Microsoft too much credit here. And I say that with love, but I think that Microsoft was just moving forward with what they thought was a good idea, what the game makers thought was a good idea, and then they freaked out and did an about face. And I think that's exactly what's happened with the start button, bringing that back to Windows 8. I think Microsoft was doing their best to push forward with changes for the operating system that they thought were going to be good for everyone. And now they're kind of freaking out because of the massive backlash they got. And so they're adding the start button back in too.
Hmm. I think what you're describing is their fallback plan. I think they had every intention of keeping the Xbox One with the cloud-based storage system if they could get away with it. I don't think they just did it knowing they would fall back. But I think they also knew, well, if it doesn't go over, we can always fall back and get that effect that you're talking about of looking like the good guys. So let's go ahead and try to push it. Because I think what it was is their ham-handed attempt to be Steam. They were trying to say, why would you do PC gaming with Steam when you can do the Xbox One, which has all the same advantages? Your games are always available in the cloud. You can play them on any console, anybody who's got an Xbox One. So go do that. They're probably going to roll out the ability to access your games from tablets and Windows 8 machines in certain cases if they could get the publishers on board, because they've really been pushing that. The tile is called Xbox in Windows 8. And I think they really wanted to do that. But because they had to account for the physical discs, they had to get the publishers to agree to do it. And the only way they could do that was to give the publishers control over the used game sales. And so when they had these meetings, you're talking about, you, and I think what happened is they sat down with the publisher and they said, you know what, the backlash is too much. Sony's got all the momentum. We can't let them have that. Yeah. We're going to go back to the way Sony's doing it. If you agreed to it with Sony, you have to agree with it with us. And they did that. Now I wonder what's going to happen to that Xbox tile on Windows 8.
Quite the most succinct explanation of this in the chat room has come from Princess Bagel. It said, I think it's disappointing that Xbox have backed down. However, their PR launch has gone tits up.
It's an interesting point you make about being able to sort of play the same game on different platforms, because of maybe this is Windows and Microsoft's only possible hope of getting their tablet out there. Because if they can somehow link the tablet as a gaming device, which will be a portable version, when you're away from your Xbox, you'll be able to play. I mean, it won't be the same game, but it'll be the same game written for a tablet. And you can take your scores with you, you can take your game with you. You know, if you're in the middle of one of these shooting games, I'm really trying to sound clever, but I don't know any shooting games. If you're in the middle of one of them shooting games and you get on the bus with your friends, you can carry on playing the shooting game. And then when you get back and you turn your Xbox on, you're exactly where you were, but you're playing it on that platform, on the larger, the bigger game. A bit like that Minecraft thing one of my kids plays. He seems to pick it up wherever he is on a different device and carry on playing it. And when he gets back, so it might be a really useful thing to tie in with their tablets, or trying to get the tablets to work, to make that a portable part of the Xbox gaming experience. So maybe they want the cloud there so that they can sort of bring this forward in years to come. But you've got to get the developers to then say, okay, we're going to do it for $5.99 on the tablet rather than the $40.99 that people are paying on the Xbox.
And they're going to, they're going to have the cloud management, but it will only be for games you buy from the box, not for disc-based games. So that means the price of disc-based games are going to go up.
Well, they can't go up much more.
Well, I think they were going to go down. There are all those stories about, like, oh, if you look up the Sony discs, they're more expensive than the Xbox One discs. Those Xbox One discs are going to be just same price as the Sony discs now.
Isn't the PS4 coming in substantially cheaper than the Xbox One anyway now?
In the US, it's $100 cheaper, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's £100 cheaper, too, because isn't it just like £449?
Well, no, there's a big discussion over here at the moment about the fact that the way they've cobbled together the UK prices were even higher than the EU price difference than the US. Right. We're used to being paying more than you, but now we're paying more than the rest of Europe as well.
And that would never do.
No, well, you know, we just lie down and take it.
We can't pay more than Johnny Foreigner. Ever.
Not getting involved in that argument.
Ever. Ever, ever. There you go. I've changed the screen, fella, so there's just the three in there.
Oh, that's cool. Very cozy.
That's very sweet, isn't it? There we go. The other thing that we've had in the UK is that the EU is going to abolish roaming fees. So as far as it goes at the current time, if you cross over and start using foreign soils system, you end up getting a full roaming charge, and it's horrific, some of it. It's really bad. They tried to cap the actual quantities a couple of years ago, but now they're actually saying that they're going to scrap it in the next 12 months. You can, in some areas of coastal Kent, end up picking up French signal and getting roaming fees as well as. So it's a thing to be careful of. And if you go for borders across Europe, for like France, Belgium, France, Italy, those kind of things, then you will get roaming charges too. America suffers from roaming charges as well, as does it not?
Yeah, it's just different because we have such a big country. You can roam all around inside without too many roaming charges. Even going from carrier to carrier just doesn't really happen all that much. But if you go to Canada, you go to Mexico, you can get hit with them pretty fast, pretty badly too.
Yeah. I mean, is there any moves to you're slightly different, I guess, because we're supposedly all European brothers, aren't we? We're all in the member states, even though we hate the French. And
much for Kent roaming charges.
I can't talk about Europe without just slotting in we hate the French. But we're supposed to be European brethren in a single trading unit. Whereas you're not trading with Canada and Mexico in anywhere near the same way.
Not legally, anyway.
it's the internal... The comparison, the better comparison in my mind, is comparing the states in the United States to the countries in Europe. And then we have like a perfectly free roaming, right? AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile can provide coverage across the entire United States without any weirdness. What's going on in Europe is that you have all of these different states of the European Union that are still independent countries, so they have their own telephone companies that don't operate in the other countries. And that's why you got this weird roaming problem. So it makes more sense for Europe to say, let's scrap the roaming. That way we don't have to encourage monopolies across the European Union. We could still have all of these different carriers in the different countries. Because that's the way we solved it in the US. There's still roaming charges. Sometimes if you try to go from one carrier to another, it's just hard to do that.
Well, the thing is, they're not different companies, though. They're called different things in different countries. But the guys, is it Orange? I can't remember who they are.
Hutchins and Telecom, they are.
Yeah, but they're all part of...
Hutchins and Telecom.
But it's a big part of some French network that owns most
Telefonica,
of the Europe.
I think, right?
Yeah, but it's all part of the same company. It's just when you go over a border, they charge you in a different currency. I mean, it's not so much of a worry, but my thoughts on this are, once they do about these way with these roaming charges, they will be making that money up somewhere else. And as it is at the moment, if you've got a roaming charge, you've sort of, you're going abroad. You're the one that's doing the going abroad. You know that it's going to cost you an extra £100 for your trip if you want to use your phone or you want to use your data. But if they're not going to be able to do that, they are going to get that money back somehow, but they'll get it back on individuals that aren't roaming. They'll get it back on cutting down what you get in a package as per normal. They'll get it in some other way. So don't expect to get any money back.
They do it in the U.S. by locking the phone so that can't
something
stick
like
another
that
SMS
will happen.
In. Or another card in, not SMS.
Yeah, I'm saying it's a lovely political idea, but when it comes down to it, there's no way. I don't know what they make every year out of roaming charges, but it's going to be an awful lot of money. There's no way they're going to be just going, okay, well, we won't have that money anymore. There will be something else that every single individual now pays, as opposed to the people that actually were using the facility and overpaying for it. So I just think be aware that it's not going to be your phone bill will go up in some way to make up for the charges they're not going to be getting.
Their phone bill will go up in some way because they're bastards.
Well, that's a more honest way of putting it than the dribble.
And that's something we all can agree on from any part of the world.
Oh, the brothers in arms.
Yes, it is.
Apparently, Bowen says that Jeremy Clarkson tweeted that he recently landed in Gibraltar and got a welcome Spain roaming charge notification message. To which someone said, last time I looked, Gibraltar was still British.
Yeah, but that cable from, wherever it is, Land's End to Gibraltar is probably broken now. So they probably have to roam on someone else's network.
But iBookery has come back with that there is a new Call of Duty, Battle for Gibraltar.
The Armada 2.
If it's the Spanish, mate, all you got to do is get a good storm and they'll sink.
Yeah. All I can say is nobody, no government whatsoever wants a tax haven at the moment.
Do you know what the 21st century lacks? Fire ships. Seriously,
Leonardo da Vinci invented those.
I don't know, but we used them. Yeah.
I'm telling you, he invented them.
Well, let's set this thing alight and shove it into the rest of them. That's a good step. The Venetians as well, wasn't there?
You'd think the Somalis would have started that up. They started piracy back up.
Greek says Batwinch in the chat.
Apparently, we're not going to pay for pirates anymore.
Has anyone been watching The Borgias?
No, it's too much like being at home.
No, I've watched The Borgias lately, and I like The Borgias, and I'm at season 3, and they just play fast and loose with history. It's just like, some of it's kind of like, oh, okay, that's close. But there was some of it, that, like in one of the seasons, Giovanni Schwartz is stabbed by Cesare Borgia, and he doesn't. He outlives him in history.
The Tudors had the same issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm looking at this. The Greeks did it. I think they did, actually. I'm trying to remember. It was one of the mathematicians.
That did what?
Invented the fire ships.
Oh, God.
Because he worked out the angle and trajectory that you'd have to fire it to burn out the other boats. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, you can't just shove it alongside and hope it jumps?
No. You have to. Oh, dear me, no. You've got to get the right amount of fire to burn out the bottom of the boat.
You ram your fire ship into the other ships.
Well, there you go. Alex is now officially elected the BTN Fireship Master because he knows that there's an angle, even if he doesn't know what the angle is.
Okay, this is going to be awesome.
Princess Bagel Thucydides says that she invented it. Yeah. Who invented it?
He recorded the first use of it. The Athenian Sicilian expedition.
You can tell we're on the cutting edge of technology, can't you?
Here we are. Someone had to invent it.
Here we are discussing fireships.
673.
Has anyone tried Greek Fire? Smartisan OS or heard even the slightest bit of news about it? Because I know it's been released and it's only for the Galaxy S3. I mean, if you've heard nothing, we'll just finish on that. But, I mean, does anyone know anything about it?
About what?
It's an alternative. Smartisan OS.
Yeah, it was on the BBC website the other day.
Oh, good God, if the BBC know about it, shame on you if you don't.
I'm desperately trying to read it while you carry on talking. We carry on talking.
Princess Bagel is comparing the Xbox One PR launch to a Greek fire ship shitstorm. Yeah, Smartisan OS goes pre-alpha. It's available for international Galaxy S3 only. And so the Americans wouldn't have got that, so you may not have heard of it. The Chinese startup dubbed Smartisan promised to offer its first custom Android ROM on the 15th of June. Well, this time it's come with the company and it's stuck to its word. But here's the catch. The software is currently in pre-alpha status, so it's neither stable nor speedy. Definitely not recommended for daily use.
What could possibly go wrong?
Absolutely, and it's Chinese. That said, the release apparently includes some of the features demonstrated in the three-hour-long launch event that they did.
Wow.
Oh, dear God. Really? A three-hour launch event for alpha software?
Pre-alpha. What do you call pre-alpha?
Well, and this is just an Android
concept
front end, right? Like it's Android.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what Kindle Fire does.
It's kind of Android. I reckon it was a bit more WebOS, maybe. But
pre-alpha is the type of thing that people try to patent.
Can you go to a psychologist for pre-alpha?
Exactly. Talking about the Chinese, they've just launched that new supercomputer, haven't they? Which is like twice as fast as any supercomputer ever has been in the history of the universe. I thought that was quite exciting.
Having followed supercomputers for a few years, that happens pretty much every year. But it's either the Japanese, the Chinese, or the US comes out with the supercomputer that's twice as fast as last year's top supercomputer.
But I was trying to work out what 54.9 petaflops a second really is, because I was trying to like compare it against anything I've ever owned, and I can't find a number big enough to work out how much more powerful it is than anything I've ever had. So I reckon if you played solitaire on that, it'd be pretty nifty.
Yeah.
You'd lose before you started.
Exactly.
It would win Jeopardy.
Yeah.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're fantastic. They've got a great product out that's launched in the last couple of weeks called Website Builder. I did the voiceover for the video for the promotion. Just wanted to say that. I'll be signing autographs later. It's great. I mean, it's drag and drop. It's easier than PowerPoint in terms of getting your website going. And it does all the really hard stuff, you know, like shopping carts and all that kind of stuff that you think you'd need good coding ability for. This thing is just simple, dead easy. Does anything you like. There's a pile of templates you can choose from, or you can create yourself from a blank sheet. It's well worth signing up just for that alone. But if you've not got your domains with UK2 and you've not got your servers with UK2, you should transfer, because you get massive discounts through listening to BTN. Go to our website, go to the sponsors page, click through, use the offer codes, and you'll get an absolute bucket load off your bill. And they'll honour it as well. When you renew, they'll honour the renewals. So if you're a BTN listener, you should support UK2 because they support us. Thank you very much to them. We'd be lost without them. And the bash is coming up. It's the 6th of July. I'm going to relent. I put the tickets up to £30 because I wanted the real honest-to-goodness loyal listeners who already bought their ticket at £20 to get the best deal. But we're going to go back to £20 this week. If you want to come, we've got the bigger venue, so we can accommodate far more people now. We can do up to 120. So if you want to get your ticket, there are a couple of tickets left to get us up to 120, but not an awful lot, I have to say. We've got a really good bash coming up this year. There's loads and loads of events, loads and loads of fun. It's on Saturday the 6th of July in a nice, nice venue with a great caterer. And also we've got beer from Wood Farm Brewery, which is down in Rugby, and it's all rugby-based beers. And we've got a pile of other stuff and loads of fun and games going on. And we'll do all the podcasts, and there's a gamer show quiz as well, and we're all split up into teams, and it'll be fun. It'll be real good fun. And on Friday the 5th, there's a curry. If you want to come to the Curry, click the banner below the Bash banner and pay for a £10 deposit. That £10 deposit will give you £10 off the meal that you order and all the beer you drink. It's not a free curry, so don't get your hopes up. But we're up to 30 for that already, which is nearly the entire restaurant. I think we've got two covers left to get in. So if you want to come to the Curry, you really have got to buy your ticket as soon as you possibly can, because once we hit 32, that's it. The restaurant is completely full, and we've got it from 9 p.m. on the Friday. We're all going over to the Bradford Arms pub, which is just over the road, and we'll start drinking from there from 11 o'clock in the morning, maybe. No one may actually turn up to the bash. Maybe all shit-faced. Right. Cool things. Alex, did you remember you need to bring a cool thing?
Only at the last minute.
Good man.
But as I've actually purchased something in the last few days that, to me, is incredibly cool and incredibly useful, I thought I'd mention it, right? I've been with O2, which is a particular UK service provider for your phone, for ages and ages and ages, and they just kept creeping up my monthly amount. And every time I phoned them up, they had another reason and another excuse, and I just got really fed up.
Yeah.
And after about 3 months of talking to them, the last person I talked to said, "Oh, sorry, why are you on that anyway?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Oh, you should have been on, and it was 25 quid a month cheaper, and you should have been on that from the beginning of the year." And I went, "Yeah, and so you're going to backdate it?" "Oh, I can't do that." So I went by, as most people would. So I went to the one that you both, most of you lot use, which is Three. And I found that they were offering unbelievable deals compared to what I've been paying.
Unlimited data?
Yeah, but the thing is, the data I have is absolutely unlimited. Not like they say on a lot of adverts, unlimited, but then it says 3 gigabyte or whatever. I spoke to them and it said, if you want to sit there and watch films all day long from 3G and run up 100 gigabytes, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
My battery couldn't cope, but that's another thing. But the only trouble that I found is it doesn't work in my house, which can be a little bit of an issue when you're running a business. I found that it worked at the very end of my garden, and it works when I walk 100 yards down the road, but not at my house. So they suggested that they send me a thing called a home network box. And I agreed to it on the grounds of they're saving me a fortune. And it's great. It plugs into my internet. And unlike some of the ones I've had before, I had a Vodafone one for a while, it produces a 3G signal. So it's not through the Wi-Fi in the normal way of these boxes work. So it's just a 3G signal. So my phone just sees it as yet another, 3G booster. But it's not really a booster. It runs through my broadband. So I get absolutely perfect signal within like 200 or 300 yards of my house. Get perfect 3G signal. I get really fast broadband even down the 3G. And I've got unlimited broadband here and whatever, so that's not a problem. But it's just such a brilliant piece of service. I turned it off to see what I got. Well, yeah, but I mean, it was just the absolute power of this box. And what's nice is you can have up to, I think, 256 people registered to it, but only, I think, 8 people can use it at the same time. Well, I don't think 8 people are going to be using the phone at the same time in my house. So anyway, I just thought this was really, really good. The power of this box is incredible. I just have full power, full signal anywhere I go, anywhere near my house. And like I say, 100 yards away from my house, it works anyway, so it's not a problem. So I'm really, really delighted with Three, but this home network box thing they offer is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I can't recommend it highly enough.
Brilliant. I've given everyone a copy of the doc, so if you could just stick your link in the doc for your cool things, that'd be great. Thank you.
Sure, no problem.
Make Miles' job better. Got to say thank you to Miles Wheatley, who is Paul Wheatley's dad, and totally unpaid, totally voluntarily. His job is the show notes. If you click on Snotes in the left-hand column on the website, all of those have been done by Miles, and thank you, mate. You're brilliant. Love you to bits. Jeffrey, do you have a cool thing?
Yes, I do. Since Google is shutting down Google Reader in just a few days, it's time for everyone that relies on RSS to find something else, and I have moved to Feedly, and their website is feedly.com, and it's pretty slick. So what happens when when you log into the Feedly site, it just sucks all of your RSS feeds out of Google Reader, and you carry on just as you did before. They have a nice web interface. They have iOS and Android apps. And there are a lot of companies, or excuse me, a lot of developers that have RSS reader applications that are adding in Feedly support. So you'll be able to transition from Google Reader to Feedly that way as well. And as of, I think it's today or yesterday, they now have If This Then That support too. And so I'm going to start messing around with that and see if I can figure out yet another way to deluge myself with alerts from whatever I can find.
Now, I'm not a Google Reader user, so I'm not going to miss it. But I've understood that there's some applications you've got to be careful because they actually just spam Google Reader rather than actually go for the RSS themselves.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Being someone that's been a hardcore RSS user for years, I've always been very selective about the applications that I use. And the application that I've been relying on for, the last 2 years, I think, is an application that's called Reader. And they have a Mac version, an iPhone, and an iPad version. And that's been like the go-to thing for me. And it does not spam me with other stuff, but it wouldn't surprise me if there are some lower quality applications that do just that, which is a crappy thing to do to people.
It is, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Good pick, sir. Good pick. And last but by no means least, Thomas, do you have a connection for us?
Yeah, well, I would throw my support behind Feedly. I've got my own pick as well, but I just switched over because they just made it available off of Google Reader. So they're not using Google Reader as their backend anymore. You will have all of your previously read things marked as unread when you do that. So don't freak out. Just, that's a quick fix to mark them as read. Good. But you might want to read all your stuff before you do the switch if you are a Feedly user. I want to talk about Instagram adding video today. Have you guys heard about this?
I saw a couple of tweets about it. And actually one of the tweets that came out was, can you imagine all the people that like doing selfies? That are going to get now selfies with video.
But, no, you're going to get video selfies now. But my Instagram feed is full of videos now. You'll tell because they got a little triangle up in the upper corner. And then they don't autoplay like Vine. You have to tap them. And then they'll actually start to play. And you'll see the videos. If you want to create a video, it's actually pretty dead simple. You just, like you would normally take a picture, you press a little picture button, and then you'll see there's a camera icon over in the corner. And then it works kind of like Vine, where you have to hold the button down while you're recording, but you get 15 seconds instead of 6 seconds. So I don't know how useful or how crazy I am about it, but I have been playing with it all morning, and it's kind of fun to see what other people are doing, experimenting with it. I had a feeling that the bloom will fade off the rose within a day or two, but... I'm enjoying messing around with it for now.
Excellent. Oh, good pick. Good pick. Do you think it's going to make anything more than Vine, or is it? Because Vine's not really well used, is it? I don't think.
No, Vine has actually been growing surprisingly, but it's a subculture. It's people. It's kind of like people who are into animated GIFs, right? They're making these little funny things on Vine, and then everybody's sharing them and laughing at them, etc. So it's actually been growing in usage, but it's just a certain type of person who likes that sort of thing. This is more widely appealing, you know, showing a graduation or babies playing or stuff, you know, depends on who you follow. I think it's a different sort of way of sharing video. Flickr has already tried this in the past. So is 12 seconds, if you remember that company, to no avail, but mobile devices are much more widespread than they've ever been. So I think this is probably the best shot at being successful at that sort of thing.
Excellent. Yeah. Good one. My pick, I've been boring this week to a certain degree. At the weekend, I went to an air show for model aircraft. And I bought a few parts that I needed for me, hexcopter and stuff like that, but nothing amazing. I've actually bought a plane as well, which I've never flown a plane, so I'll probably be crashing it next week. I'll let you know how it goes. It's still in the box here. Got delivered this week. The one thing I want to say is a cool thing, though, is a guy called Ali McKinsey. He's an American guy who flies model aircraft. He owns alshobbies.com. And I videoed his display. This is him, and that's his plane there. This thing is a 21-foot wingspan, remote-controlled, jet-powered stunt glider. So it's got a jet engine that pops out the top, and he flies it round on the jet engine, and then he takes it up to a ridiculous altitude. The engine then goes inside the body, and he glides it, and it's a full-blown glider. And this is one-half scale, so he flies the real version of this. And he was just brilliant. I've posted a video on our British Tech Live channel. But
that video is awesome.
It is. I mean, and he flew. You see where the trees are in the background on this picture? He actually flew this thing through the trees, under treetop height level. It wasn't like skimming the top of the trees. He was between the trees on the Sunday. And one of the guys, Liam Gower, on the website, on the video, was put down his 21-point hesitation roll. 6 foot off the ground on Sunday was amazing. And he did. The wingtip was 6 foot off the ground. And a hesitation roll is one where he just turns it a bit and stops and turns it a bit and stops and turns it a bit and stops and carries on. And he was amazing. If you can't get to a YouTube and put in Ali McKinchy, he's M-A-C-H-I-N-C-H-Y. And he's stunning. He's just incredible flyer. There's a couple of his crashes on there as well, which is, makes me feel good that I'm still human. And thanks very much to Darren Griffin. I went flying with him last night at the BTN Model Club at its first outing down in next to old, not to Farnborough, next to Farnborough Airfield. We didn't fly anything on there, unfortunately. So, there you go. Alex, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Where you can get me? Where can you get me on Twitter on Alex G Fox, and you can get me on Google Plus as well as Alex G Fox, I think. And the reason I mention that is because of the wonderful work that Mr. Madden has done with the Google Plus, what do you call it, communities. And I heartily recommend everyone to join as many of these BTN communities for each individual program as you can, because we're having some really good chats. I mean, at 7 o'clock this morning, I'm arguing about some New York Times article that someone has posted up and criticizing Apple in some way. I can't even remember what the argument was about, but it was a very friendly debate that went on all day. Lots of people chipped in. It's a really, really nice place. And, you know, obviously not everybody can, you know, get on every show, and, you know, not everybody can get into a chat room and listen live, but this is an opportunity to completely be as joined in as absolutely anyone else from you and down. You know, you've got as much right to have your say, and this is the place to say it.
Absolutely.
It's,
I mean,
brilliant. It is really good. Is good.
The community pages on Google Plus are a revelation. They've reinvigorated Google Plus. All you got to do is sign up to Google Plus and then just type in The Mac Show, The Big Show, The Gamer Show, The Comic Show, The Media Show, The Photo Show, etc. And you'll see the community page come up. Just join in the community. And once you've joined it, it's an open join, so you haven't got to be a authorized or anything. Just join in and post what you want. Enter into the discussion with everyone. There's some fantastic conversations going on. It's reinvigorated Google Plus for me.
These conversations weren't started by us. They were started by, you know, other people that wanted to know what we thought, what other people around the network, people that just are interested thought. And, you know, it got heated. The debate got heated. But at no point was it in anything other than a very, very friendly place to debate whatever the topic was that day. And it's really, really taking off. And you know what? You're missing out if you're not part of it, honestly. You're missing out.
It's good. Very good. Thank you, Carl, for doing that.
Well done, Carl.
Well done, mate. Chat room is saying, oh, dear, Ewan's got a plane. Yeah, there we go. Jeff, where can we get you, mate?
Pretty much anywhere, but
on the Jeff Gamut network.
That's right. Everyone gets raises. So yeah, you can find me at macobserver.com, and you can find me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut, both places. You can find my my observations on what happens at coffee shops at freshbrewedtales.com. And geez, what, how many shows am I on here? Okay. So there's the Big Show, which we're doing.
Yeah.
There's the Comic Show. And then you wrote me into the Mac Show on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah. Sorry, because of crap at bookings.
Yeah. So then Apple Context Machine, we have Communicators, and Just Google me. I'm everywhere.
You podcast floozy.
I've heard the term podcast whore.
Well, okay, I was with, being
with
I was,
either term.
I was being kind. Mr. Merritt, where are you?
TomMerritt.com is the best place to keep up with all my stuff. Merritt. I not only post all of the things that I do up there, but I have a little running daily thing called Tech History Today, where I look at three or four things that happened on this day in the history of technology, and then link out to citations if you want to learn more about them. So
cool.
You know, maybe add it to your Feedly.
And on Twit.
Yes, Tech News Today every day, 10 a.m. live.twit.tv.
It's a must-have podcast, absolutely.
I'm really hoping, Tom, that I can read in the next few days about the history of the fireboat.
On this day in history.
Is there a day attached to it, though? Stuff like that.
Look, tomorrow, what's it? The 21st tomorrow, longest day of the year. Yeah, that's a really good day to pick.
Not? You can do the day that the Venetians burned the Turkish fleet.
All right. And I don't know if that's tech history. I'll look into it.
Well, it gets the fire ship in. That's all I'm thinking.
Sure. That's really all that matters.
I was just trying to find a tenuous way to work in a fire ship.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, aren't we all, really?
We'll be back again next week, and we'll have the usual stuff, and we'll have the usual guests, and we'll have the usual fun, and you can join in if you want to come along. Sign into the chat room. We've got an IRC chat room that you can join into, irc.dhz.net, and it's British Tech Network is the hashtag. And we'll have some fun. Play around. And it's not... how many sleeps did the bash day? Like 20. Get close. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Cheerio.
Cheerio, you're stealing Carl's line.
Carl Nick Bombay, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back.
Reappropriating it?
The reappropriated Cheerio.
Oh dear, these kids, they've got no class. They have to steal it from somewhere else.